I'm glad. How many of y'all know you've absolutely been set free of your sin? You got a brand new life. And so here's the deal. What do I do after Jesus comes into me? What do I do after Jesus comes into me? There is a life to be lived, and I hope that you're living it. Many of you are. Many of you are. I want to give you two concepts. Last week, we learned from the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What did he tell us? I preach the cross, and I preach the resurrection, and I stay in the cross, and I'm empowered by the resurrection. Stay focused on who? Jesus. Stay in who? Jesus. This week, I was in a discussion with one of my colleagues, and we got in this discussion of what is perfect. Have you ever let your mind go there? That'll cause you a deep headache after the discussion. And the question was, because, you know, there are some believers who believe that they're going to end up being perfect. Now, here's the problem I have with perfect. I am so imperfect, I can't even imagine perfect. So even my definition of perfect is imperfect. Did y'all get all that? Perfectly. And so God's called me to be in grace. And so I want to challenge, especially if you're all, if you're stuck on perfect, I'm going to ask you to move your stuck on perfect to deep and faithful. I believe only God can make us what we're supposed to be. There's not a set of rules or regulations, because here's what I find about perfect. Everybody's perfect's different, because perfect tends to be defined by them and not by God. And everybody's got their own little set of regulations they like to impose on other people. Have y'all found that? And here's what I want you to know right off the bat. God is not into regulation imposing. That's why he's unelectable. If you know his governments, what do governments do? They impose what? Regulations, because that's all they got, is the power to regulate, because they don't carry the power to save. Now, do you understand that? The government can't save you. Please say amen. Somebody say, do you all get that? It won't save you. Now, here's something else. Watch this, Sheriff. You good, but you can't save me. You know what I mean? You can arrest me. You can keep me, but you can't confine me. Only God can what? Y'all need to say that a little bit louder. Only Jesus can what? Now, come on, church. Say it like the world needs to hear. Only Jesus can what? That's the message the world needs to hear. Unfortunately, we're that silent about it, because I think we get challenged by the wisdom of this world. How many of you all have found this? What appears wise is not always wise. What appears wise is not always wisdom. Now, the Bible tells us this in Proverbs. It says, there's a way that seems right unto human beings, unto mankind. How many of you all have always encountered a way that seems right? For every decision in your life, there's a way that seems what? Right. But when I was married early on, there were a lot of ways that seemed right to me that I discovered from my wife were not. It seemed right to me. It seemed good to me. But after I made that decision, the results were not good. There's a way that appears to be right. How many of y'all have noticed that in our society? Here's kind of the way we determine it. How many of y'all have ever heard this? If everybody's doing it, it's got to be good. How many of y'all have seen that kind of, well, everybody's doing it. How many of y'all use that one on your parents? You know, when you were 16, you walked in and said, well, everybody is. Any of y'all use that one on your parents? How many of y'all, now that your parents have adolescent children, you're getting that one back on you? And they tell you what? Well, Mom and Dad, let me tell you, everybody's doing that. Everybody's doing that. And my dad would always make this statement, I don't care what everybody's doing. I care what you're going to do. And you know what? God really doesn't care about what everybody else is doing. He cares that you do what he's made you to do. Now, let me give you the three types of people you're always surrounded with. We're surrounded with them in worship. We're surrounded with them in other events. There's three types of people you'll always be around. There are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have met people? They just absolutely believe. And they believe. And, you know, Samson, they say, well, why do you believe? I said, because I believe. They are absolutely committed to Jesus Christ, whether anybody else goes with them. How many of y'all have met those kind of people? There's a few of those in here. There's a lot of those in here. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified, resurrected. I'm not stepping back from that. Now, you're always surrounded by make-believers. Here, let me prove my point. I don't see any blue in the auditorium today. Now, I'm not saying anything. I'm just making an observation. Now, this time last year, the auditorium looked like a sea of blue. How many of y'all have noticed that a lot of us, we only with something as long as it's winning? Not making any accusations, I'm just making observations. And then when it doesn't do what we want it to do, we what? We're out of there. You're always surrounded by make-believers. When you worship, you got to be careful. You got to use discernment. You got those who believe and you got those who make believe. I'm not calling judgment. I'm just saying, hey, listen to what they got to say. See if they hold in there when it doesn't go their way. See if they hold to Jesus when it doesn't go their way. Have you always noticed the Lord's always good as long as he's passing out money? But if you lose money, he changes. How many of y'all notice these sports teams? I've never heard this after game, except one time. Colt McCoy. How many of y'all remember Colt McCoy? He's playing in a championship game, played for the University of Texas. Was known as a believer, not a make-believer. Right at the first of the game, quarterback gets blown out of the game. And guess what? At the end of the game, he doesn't say, I'm disappointed in God. He said, God is God, and God will always be God, and this is a football game. And apparently, I didn't get to finish the game. I went, my God, someone who actually believes in the Lord. That the Lord is really not, the world is not going to change whether Alabama or Texas win. Now, some people will change in Vegas because of it, but the Lord will not change. See what I'm saying? And so I want you to understand this today because Paul says, listen, what you see right now is not everything that there is. What you hear right now are not all the ideas that are possible, and what you conceive right now is not all the understanding that's available. In fact, I've become convinced of this. Maybe I'm getting older. What I don't see is more certain than what I see. The Bible says that. That the things of the unseen are more certain than the things of the seen. How many of you have noticed that everything you see changes? Y'all looked in the mirror lately? Chris Allen, I thought that was the cute commercial y'all had when you know, the little commercial you ran where you fell back in your boyhood with your magic wand or whatever it was you used. Chris, have you changed since that age? A lot. How many of y'all have changed? How many of y'all look in the mirror sometimes and go, what's happening? Now, I didn't say it's a bad thing. You may look in the mirror and say, wow, this is good. See, you're assuming that it's a negative change. Because what you say, I don't know why we do this. Why is our first perception of change negative? Now, you know, you go see the doctor. Doctors are good at this, and I respect all you medical doctors here. And you know, you all tell us things like this. You need to change your diet. That's like a primary scripture for doctors. You need to change what you eat. You don't need to eat that. You need to change that. Now, that's not necessarily a negative thing, because if you change that, it leads to a better life. How many of y'all have noticed that? Well, Paul is speaking in to the church at Corinth, and he says, we don't have a weak message. We have a message that's out of this world. How many of y'all realize you have a message inside you that's out of this world? So we got God surrounding us in two places. God is around us, and he's in some of us. God is around all of us, and he is in some of us. How many of y'all get that? God is around all of us, and he's in some of us. That's the difference. Because some of us have said this, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe, right? Lord Jesus, I receive you. That makes God in us. Now, three types of people you always be around, believers, make believers, and those yet to believe. Is that cool? No matter where you are, you'll be around believers, make believers, and yet to be believers. Can y'all remember that rhythm? Now, I'm going to challenge you today. Are you going to receive the wisdom of God? I told you the proverb. It says this. There's a way that seems right to human beings, and then there's a way that is God's. You know what the Bible says? That wise people, mature people that want to live a full and abundant life, seek wisdom. How many of y'all need to seek wisdom today? You need to seek wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Any of y'all going to have to make a decision in the week following? Anybody here going to have to make a decision in the week following? How many of y'all are making decisions right now? You're making decisions right now to think about where you're going to eat or listening to what God's got to say. Our minds are constantly making what? Decisions. And we will either embrace what we're about or we'll actually surrender what God could be about. Now, y'all got the rhythm. Adam, you got it? You got it there, Doc? God is around how many? All of us. And he's in what? Some of us. In our prayer is he get in some more of you. Isn't that cool? He's around all of us, in some of us. With a great prayer, he get in some more of us. Can y'all, that's actually the rhythm of Hillview. That's why people get mad at us. They're like, I can't believe you're like so-and-so in the church over there. I said, don't let anybody, everybody's welcome. Because God's around all of us. Well, God doesn't hang out with those kind of people. Really? What people does God not hang out with? Y'all ever read the book? Here's the number one problem with Christianity in America. Everybody that talks about the Bible has never read it. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Everybody that has a comment of faith has never read the Bible. Have y'all ever heard politicians quote scripture? Man, they went to sleep in Sunday school. It'll be the most out of context thing I've ever heard. As someone who studies the Bible, I go, what? Because they're trying to make the Bible say what they want it to say. I mean, they get tax increases out of the Bible. Imagine that. Of course, they'd get tax increases out of biology book. And the other ones would have no tax increases, just depending on what side of the aisle you are. Now, guess what? Here's what I'm going to tell you about politics. Neither side is God. Y'all should say amen. Amen. I know some of you are saying, yeah, but my side's a little more God than the other. I know. Here's what I want you to know. What we see won't last forever. What God says will be. There's the gig. Now let's look. Paul is in this world of the great orators. Nathan, they talking it up. Everybody's showing the world how smart they are. How many of y'all have ever seen people like that? I get to teach young preachers now. I don't know why they call them young preachers, but I get to teach young preachers. And they tell me to go teach young preachers. And they never say, as a young preacher, go teach young preachers. They go teach the youngins. And here's what I find about young preachers. More of them spend more time wanting you to know what they've learned than telling you what they've learned. The job of the pastor is not to tell you where he comes from. He's to tell you what God has said. But we get impressed with credentials. How many of y'all get impressed with credentials? That guy's got to be smart. Why? He graduated from Harvard. Well, how smart is it to pay that much money for a 4-year degree? And get the same job everybody else got. You ever think about these things? You ever just think about things every once in a while? But I had a friend of mine. Around here we don't bump into too many people that came from Harvard. And so when I was in graduate school, I was with a guy and he graduated from Harvard. That's the way you say Harvard. He'd gotten his master's at Harvard. So I asked him. I said, "What's the big deal about Harvard?" He said, "I'll tell you what the big deal is. It's a big check." He said, "Look, I'm no smarter than you." I said, "Yeah, I figured out first time I shook your hands, you wasn't that." I said, "You don't say ain't and stuff like that, and you don't eat fried food. But other than that, you paid a lot of money." He said, "Yeah, to get the same degree you got." You see, but we get impressed with title, and God is focusing on testimony. But we get impressed with what? Title. They got to know something. They're a thus or a that. They went here, they went there. They've gained wisdom. Now, Paul is in a world like this. Do you know the orator Apollos? Hey, he went to such and such. He said this. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you going to hold on more to what they say or what God has said? It's tough to preach in the world today. You know what most people want me to tell? They want me to be Dr. Phil for Jesus. You want me to give you a pop answer to your temporary problem in this moment? If I was to do that, we'd fill the church up four or five more times. People love temporary solutions. And here's why. We don't realize that all of our wisdom has a side effect. If you don't believe it, let me prove it to you. Every technology we have developed has a side effect that we did not take into consideration. Have you noticed that? How many of y'all have ever seen some of these pharmaceutical commercials on TV? Restless leg syndrome. You take a pill, keeps your leg from wiggling. Earwax stops up your ears. You go blind. You can't breathe. You have sexual difficulty. I mean, it has all kinds of side effects. I said, Lord, I just let my leg wiggle for all that going on. We're probably the only society in the world that has ever gotten focused on leg wiggling. You know what that tells me? We got enough free time to worry about our leg wiggling. Do you know, nowhere in history did I read the great Romans said, yes, we had a leg wiggling problem back in Rome. We got to live. I'm just showing you, whatever we think of's got side effects. Would you agree with me or not? Talk to me for a minute. Coach, you've been in that dilemma, hadn't you? You choose this play and you thought it's going to be good, but it led to this reaction. Unaware. Would you agree with me this, that our ideas are limited at their best? How many of y'all would go along with that? Okay, now you're going to understand this scripture. Paul comes screaming in. He said, listen, I got a message of wisdom. I got a message of wisdom, and I want you to catch it today. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age. Not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. I got to thinking about that. I study a lot of Roman history. All the great philosophers of Rome are dead. And all the great thoughts of Rome perished. Isn't that interesting? Rome is in ruins. All we have about Rome is their moment of history, and yet they truly controlled the world. They weren't just a nation. They weren't a superpower. At one moment of history, for a moment of time in human history, they were the dominant world. And they had great philosophers, a great education system, and wonderful technology. How many of y'all realize this? 2,000 years ago in Rome, they had toilets that flushed. Is that not amazing? We have parts of Kentucky 2,000 years later that are yet to achieve that technology. Rome was advanced. In Corinth, right along with it. But here's the problem. Sometimes we think we're greater than God. And we think our wisdom and our decision is greater than what God said. Be careful in this coming age. Just because everybody believes it so doesn't make it true. There is a flaw with the democracy system. A majority can be headed in the wrong direction. That's a possibility, isn't it? Just because 51% say it's so doesn't mean it's so. How many of y'all are that astute? You could have 51% of the population that's absolutely wrong. Or 51% of the population that's absolutely what? Right. But just because everybody says it's so doesn't make it so. Paul dealt with this as he came in. He said, be careful, the rulers of this age, what they say is for a moment. What God says is forever moment. Does that help you on the wisdom? You see, there's a way that seems right, and then there's a way that what? Is right. How many of y'all have done some is right ways? I know that's not appropriate phraseology, but I just want to help you remember it. You need to ask yourself this week, is this right? Is this the way Jesus would do it? Let me tell you some things about God's wisdom. Three things I want you to remember. God's wisdom is always long distance. God doesn't look at the moment. He looks at forever. Number two, God is about everybody, not just you. That's how you know if it's the wisdom of God. God is about everybody, not just what? You. My wisdom's about what? Me. Roger, I don't ever make a decision unless it's to my benefit if I'm just using me. What about the rest of you? Y'all are grinning because you know you do. Carrie, you even do the same thing, don't you? If it comes between you and Judy, you want it a little more on your side, don't you? Yeah, because that's the way we do in human wisdom. God's about everybody. His wisdom's about everybody. And the third thing is this. The third thing is this. His last and mine's there for a little while. God last, and my understanding is for a little while. Now let's look at what Paul goes on. Paul understood this. He went from his wisdom to God's wisdom. And I want to cue you into these things as we enter the Easter season. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, that just simply says this. How many of y'all glad to know that God had it figured out before he started? So how many of y'all can embrace this? God's got it figured out, and I'm on a journey. How many of y'all glad to worship a God that's got it under control? A God that's never surprised. A God that is not shocked. He said, this has been hidden. Now I'm going to reveal Jesus at this moment of history to show humanity the great wisdom, the great love, and the great grace of God. Church, I want to tell you, it's about love and grace. It's just what we sang today. It's about love and grace. Now, look what it said. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified our Lord of glory. He says, you can't look to the rulers to get this wisdom, because where do most people look? To the rulers. Not what does God say about it. What does Rome say? What does Corinth say? What do the orators say? Hold on, we do the same thing. How many of y'all understand we live in a world that is always talking? Like no other time in history. We live in a world that's always talking. Chris Allen is always talking. He tweets all the time. Tweet, tweet. And on my wife's phone, it goes, bling. I go, let me guess, Chris Allen. She goes, I'm on his update. Chris tweets and goes, bling. Starting to rain. Bling. It is still raining. Bling. It has not stopped raining. Now I want to go, Chris, we got it. Then he says, bling. I got the forecast right today. We never know. We live in an age that's always what? Talking. Now let me ask you a question. How many of y'all believe everything that's on a screen? This is the new world we live in. Do y'all realize that we've created an age where idiots can publish? This is our new age of technology. Before, 50 years ago, before you could publish, you had to have this thing called an editor. Because guess what editors did? Eliminated stupid things. Guess what the internet has allowed? No editing. And here's what amazes me. People will go, well, I read that on a blog. Like if you put it on a blog, it's now true. If it's online, it's got to be what? Real. And this came a long time ago because guess what? People believe screens. If stuff's on TV, what do people tend to do?
Well, I say that's on the news.
Well, how do you know it's true?
That's on the news.
Well, how do you know the news was right?
It's on the news.
Chris Allen said it on the AM. Yeah, like, that's credible. I tell him, I know Chris. No, Chris, I just kid you. And all you're doing is reporting what's told to you. But then we got to seek truth. And God says, I want to give you a method for seeking truth. Paul says, listen, be careful. Not everything you see, not everything you hear, and not everything you conceive is of God. How many of y'all that far along? Not everything I hear is what God said. Not everything I see is what God sees. But you see, I understand this. I start with this. Paul says, there's a God that's got it figured out. He's around you and wants to be in you. That's good news, isn't it? He's around all of us, wants to be in some of us. And then he says, get this. He goes back to Isaiah and he quotes this scripture. However, as it is written, he goes back to the First Testament. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Let me give you a guy I love. Guy I love. If I had to be an ancient follower of God, I think I'd want it to be Noah. And the reason I'd want to be Noah is because Noah got to build the biggest houseboat ever. Noah got to build a boat, and I like boats, but hold on, watch this. Noah had to do Isaiah before Isaiah came in because Noah had to trust a God in the midst of a crazy culture. Paul's having to trust the wisdom of God even though nobody else agrees with him. Steve Ayers has to trust the wisdom of God even though I don't have a lot of people that agree with me. Oh, I don't have a lot of people that agree with me, especially when I get in royal battles. I mean, I believe some crazy things according to them. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Guess what the world says, Andy? Bigot! If you don't agree with me and you don't agree with the way that I think God works, then you just, you're awful. God wouldn't send me to hell because I'm good. I go, really? What's good about you? Well, I ain't smacked my husband today. What about yesterday? We're not going to talk about that. We're not naturally good, guys. It's not our perception that takes us to heaven. Somebody say, I get that, preacher. And you know why I go over that every Sunday? Because every week I hear people trying to save themselves. Some of y'all think if you feed poor people, you're going to go to heaven. Now, the poor folk that don't have food, they appreciate it. But that has nothing to do with you going to heaven. Because here's what you've been lied to. And you believe it. You believe nice people go to heaven and people that aren't nice go to hell. You know how I know? I hear every week. Well, now the Lord wouldn't allow them to go to hell. They were nice. Would you all please show me where God said that one time? It's right next to the verse where God said, those who help themselves, he'll help. That's not in there either. See, there's a lot of things that aren't in there that you think are in there because you've listened to hearsay instead of the wisdom of God. How many of y'all have listened more to what somebody said than what God actually said? You'd be amazing how much your life will change when you just do what God says. Think about Noah. He had to totally trust God, right? Here's Noah's dilemma. He's never seen a boat. He never went down to the desert dock and hung out on a boat for a weekend. And here's his assignment. He's got to build something he's never seen. I think that'd be pretty cool. God, I've never seen a boat. I'm going to show you what the boat looks like. All right. What am I supposed to do with the boat? God says, well, it's going to be kind of like a floating zoo. You're going to build a boat, and you're going to take every animal with you. I said, that's pretty cool, floating zoo. This is the part that would have got me. And you need to take your mother-in-law. I'd have said, Lord, let me ask you a question. Can we put a dinghy on the outside of the ark? A life raft. He said, no, you got to bring her in there because I got to seal the door up. Hold on, watch this. Noah, an ancient patriarch, had to trust the wisdom of God, and that wisdom looked ridiculous, looked wrong, looked incorrect. It looked like Noah was what? Crazy. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, here's this dude, Noah, out there. Nobody's seen a boat. Nobody's seen. We live in a desert. What are you doing? Oh, well, there's a flood coming. Yeah, right. Chris Allen, can you imagine being God's weather forecaster? Can you imagine that? Hello, it's Chris Allen. Expect a great flood a few years from now. Allen, we live in a desert. It will flood. Now, God gives us these stories. You know why? Because God tends to do the same thing over and over again so we can get it. Like right now, people think I'm crazy. Lord Jesus will return.
Well, Pastor Ayers, now, if you want to believe in a myth like that, and if that makes people like you feel good, it don't make me feel good. It makes me understand there's some point to live.
This is what doesn't make me feel good. That my whole life exists to make some money, hang out in the house, and die. If that's life, I need some of them restless leg pills. But life is more than that. God is beyond the moment. Now check this out, church. I'm about to close, so listen. What in your life is God calling you to that nobody can see at the moment? But you see it because God's letting you see it. Noah saw a boat when nobody knew what one was. Noah conceived of the plan of God. He heard that there was going to be a flood. But he looked ridiculous, didn't he? Out there every day, what are you doing? Building a boat. And the scripture even said they laughed and made fun of him. But nobody made fun when the raindrops started falling. In fact, they begged to get in a boat, but the door was sealed. And guess who sealed it? Boy, a lot of people got a problem with this. God did. You see, there's a time to listen and there's a time to respond, and then there's a time when things are sealed. And it's going to be what it's going to be. And I don't want anybody to get caught sealed on the outside. God's around all of us. He's in what? Some of us. Because some of you realize this. You could see that you were a sinner. You heard that Jesus was the Savior. And your mind conceived, I will receive Christ even though I can't physically what? See Him. I can believe in Him. Here's why I want you to know. Don't spend your time arguing with people that want you to scientifically prove that Jesus exists. I mean, I can historically argue Jesus is mentioned in other texts outside the Bible. But our message is not that Jesus exists. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is Jesus saves. It's not that He was a guy that showed up. It was that He was God and man at the same time and came to set our sin free. That's in.
You say, well, what do I use to believe in that logic? I don't know. Is a boat logical in a desert? I would say not. My logic would teach me 101 logic up at Western would say not a logical proposal. But here's what I've learned. My wisdom, my understanding, my education, and I got all the alphabets, is limited at its best. One of my motivations to get all the alphabets was to tell people with credibility that's a limited experience. And there's something beyond what we can see and what we can hear and what we can see. And you say, what is it? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. How many of y'all are glad to know there's a Spirit of God? And He's around us even when we can't see Him, even when we won't hear Him, even when we can't conceive of the glory of God. Guess what? I really can't conceive of heaven. Can y'all? I mean, we just sang that song. I love that song. No pain, no suffering. I can't see that. Because guess what I see every day? I really do. But I believe. You know what? I can't really hear of a place where everybody, every tongue is filled with the glory of God. Because guess what? I hear so many limited things today. But I believe. You say, what caused you to believe? There's a Spirit that is God's Spirit that's beyond our wisdom. So I wanted to give you a heads up and be real, real careful. Because we live in a world today, and I believe we're approaching this time. If not for the Spirit of God, even those who follow Him will be deceived. You're going to grow frustrated. I'm not going to become Dr. Phil preacher. I understand it'll fill the church up. I understand everybody will feel better when they leave. But y'all need to understand, I've actually read the Bible. I actually read it. Not just the verses of it that are fun. The whole book. Over and over again, and not one time is Jesus concerned about my emotional feelings. That's the 60s. That's pop psychology. And by the way, just out of what I do see, that approach has had some pretty severe side effects in the church. A church that believes only what it can feel is not a church that can stand in the day of the rain. A church that only praises God when things are good is not a church that'll float when the floods come. A church that only sees what it can do will be limited and never ride out the 40 days and the 40 nights of the storm. But hold on. A church that believes the cross is the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection is the power of life, that God says what he says and means what he says, will meet him there on the day of glory after all is over. It will sing. It will sing. Here's where you get your no pain, when it's all done. In the meantime, there'll be some painful moments, but I trust God to get me through. There'll be some things I wish I've never seen, but I'm going to put my eyes on God. There'll be some things that my mind conceives that I cannot believe, but I will say I will trust him who is in the unseen and the very heard. You see, here's one thing I believe. You can hear God. I've never had a person that didn't hear God. They just didn't like what he said. Because they don't like his first words. You're a sinner. No, I'm not, Lord. My therapist told me I'm inherently good. Your therapist lied like a dog. That's why they're charging you $175 an hour. They charge, God changes. We'll tell each other what we want to hear, and God tells us what we need to hear. But oh, Earl, I know you and Noah were buddies, and it had to be tough on him. Huh? Because God said some things to me I didn't want to hear. And he showed me some things I didn't want to see. But I found that wisdom is found in this scripture. The things of God, he has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his I mean, y'all glad to know that there is something that is unseen that is greater than what we see. Now, I don't know about y'all, but what I see, I say, thank God. Tomorrow be Monday. Y'all see some grumpy people in the morning. Why? How many of y'all see grumpy people on Monday? I do. Mom's taking her kids to school. They drop them off. They're at the minute mark. You got to be careful with them. They've just been in an argument. Here they come in. You know, thank God we live here. Some of them drinking big gulps. That's still legal in Kentucky. No, hold on. Let me just help y'all. I got to comment on this. Just to let y'all know how messed up we are. Mr. Gibson, I appreciate that you keeping the big gulp over there at the IGA, because I like to get me a mellow yellow big gulp. I want how many ever ounces I need, a number pure caffeine. New York, they'll arrest me. But I can go to Colorado and smoke dope. And then I'm going to need a big cup because I'm going to get the munchies. We're going to mess everything up. Yeah, I mean, this is the crazy world I live in. We're outlawing big gulps in New York and legalizing dope in Colorado and Washington State. And then Colorado, they did a study last month. And they go, they've come up with all their wisdom. Sheriff, you won't believe this. More teenagers are smoking dope now that they've legalized it. Shazam! Now, I don't know. Now, young people, don't get mad at me. This is just an observation, so don't stone me over this one. The last thing that this particular group of young people needs is something to take their drive away. Because it's not like they're running on a lot of drive anyway. So we're going to prepare a generation to be stoned and play video games. And y'all got hope in Social Security. Our wisdom. Because here's what we believe. If we vote things not sinful, that takes away the consequences of sin. Here's the flaw in that thinking. We're not the final judgment. How many of y'all glad to know that the Supreme Court's not the Supreme Court? All those justices one day will step before the Supreme Judge. And they will be judged according to how they've judged. All presidents will step before the Supreme King. And they will be judged by the way that they've led. Some of them led by the Spirit of God, and others of them led by their own accord. It's been through all of human history. It is not for me to judge them, and it's not for you to judge them. Because guess where you and I are going to stand? We too will step before the Supreme King of Kings. And when I step in front of him, I want to say this. I believed in you. I ask you to forgive me. If he says, heirs, why should I let you in here? I only have one comment. You said you would. And if he says, would you like to see a film of your life? Rather not. John, I just read there's some things I don't really want my mama to see on the great screen in heaven. I'd rather for him to say when he shows my film. All that you can see is a stretched out cross with a graceful Savior. For that's the only way I'm stepping into heaven. So I'm going to trust what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard and what no mind can conceive and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? Now some of my intellectual friends will go, now Dr. Ayers, how do you know that works? And I respond back, how do you know it doesn't? Yeah. This frustrates people. They get all worked up. Oh, I got pastors, they just get worked up at me. They go, well, how do you know so-and-so's saved? I say, how do you know they're not? I don't. And I help them. You don't either. So it comes down to who? Jesus. Today, how many of y'all need to say, Lord Jesus, you've been around me. And I know that. I sense that. I feel that. I'm with you, Lord. But you know what? I've never let you in me. I've never said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? Sin. I believe you died on the cross, you've risen from a grave. We're going to celebrate that 2 weeks from now like you've never seen celebration. Called Easter. If you haven't done that today, I invite you to do that. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to invite you to be baptized on Easter. I just think Easter's a good day to be baptized. You know, Jesus rises from the grave, you rise to a new life. And besides that, every Easter that comes around, what can you remember? What do you think, Gerald? You've been baptized. Some people like me need help, you know what I mean? Like I married Elizabeth close to Christmas, so I wouldn't forget my anniversary. Jesus was born and I died close to that. See what I'm saying? I got those two events lined up right there. Make sense? Gifted in Christ. He wants to give you grace. Let me tell you what's going to happen at this altar. You're either going to disbelieve what he said. Look into Jesus. Ask him if he'll forgive you. And if he says no, would you please come tell me that? No, seriously. I'm waiting to hear this because I hear this from a theology that's out there. I'm waiting for you to ask Jesus to forgive you. And he goes, I'm sorry you're not on the list. How many of y'all glad that not? How many of y'all glad to know that heaven's not like a club? You know what I'm talking about, a club. Yeah, not like that. There's not a big angel standing there with a velvet rope. Oh, sorry. There's a Savior standing there with his arms wide open saying, if you will, I will. That's grace. Just please, but if you ever do this, please come tell me, because I've never seen this happen. A human soul say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I really believe you died on the cross. I know you've risen from the grave. And Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've never heard the Holy Spirit go, you're not on the list. But I've seen the Holy Spirit speaking to human beings thousands of times this message, follow me. I love you. You were saved. You are forgiven. Come and what? Follow me. So, Pastor Ayers, you preach about that every Sunday. You're right. I don't disagree. I'm in the line of preachers like the Apostle Paul. He did a good job, I think, Johnny. Paul did. I think he did a good job. And, you know, he brought the gospel to the whole Western Hemisphere. And he didn't act like Dr. Phil one time. So I'm not going to either. So would you ever read the end of his life? Yeah, he got exiled on an island. He didn't get any preacher rewards. No reward points. No conferences. He died exiled on an island in the power of God. And we talk about him today. And I haven't read one of Apollos' letters in the Holy Text yet. Who was a great orator. Who shone and who dazzled the people. And who made them think he was wise. Paul's wisdom did not come from him. He said so. It came from the Spirit that loves us. So today, if you don't know Jesus, I can't save you. I wish I could. I mean, if I could save you, I'd drag you up here. But it doesn't work that way. You got to decide, is Jesus real or not? What do you think? Some of you in this room, you say amen. Others in you in this room say, I hope so. Others in your room say, I'm still trying to figure it out. Well, let me help you. You'll never figure it out. You got to receive it. How do you figure out a God that loves sinners? I don't know. That's why, as I read the Bible, never one time did he say, figure me out. He said, follow me on. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Y'all been wonderful today. Thanks for being at church today. Thanks, Guatemala team, for going and loving Jesus and seeing people in Guatemala come to Christ, the cross and resurrection. What about Justin? Does it work in Guatemala just like it does right here in Bowling Green? Absolutely. Same Jesus, same people, same sin, same redemption everywhere in the world. You ready? Somebody's going to get saved in here today. Please pray. And don't get restless. You know where you need to go? You need to come to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, may your Spirit search the beautiful people that have showed up today. Lord, some of them need to be saved today. All those that don't know you, you've been around them. Now may they let you come in. May you, Lord, desire in their life and may they hear you. Okay, listen, if you've never asked Jesus in your life and you feel that Spirit drawing you, tell him you've sinned. Just tell him right now, Lord, I've sinned against you. Know that you broke all the Torah law. You broke the Ten Commandments. Tell him, Lord, I've sinned and I want to be forgiven. I believe you died for me. I know you're risen. I want you in my life. If he tells you he won't come in, I won't come here. Why? Look at me. Here's what the Bible says. See if this makes more sense now. You have not because you ask not. I don't think that was talking about a new Cadillac. That was talking about salvation. Ask and you will what? But you got to what? God's greater than cars and houses and nations and jobs. He's forever. And Keith, we're for a moment, right? For those of you that need to receive him, come receive him. I'm going to ask that the rest of you who believe, some of you come and pray for our city. Y'all were at church today, man. Thanks for being here. Thanks for hearing. We got young kids that hear about the grace of Jesus Christ today in his service. But you know what? Robert, 90,000 people. 90,000 people.
Crabtree, when you started here as our associational director, it was 87. It went up 3,000, and you had the best 4 years ever. 90,000 people aren't engaged with Jesus today on a day of worship. So when are we going to care enough to say, Lord, get their ear. Let them know. Love them. Listen, if you got friends that don't know Jesus, I'd be a friend enough to just share the story. You say, Pastor Steve, will they not like me anymore? I don't know. If they don't like you for what you believe, they never liked you anyway. They probably liked you for what you had. I want to hang around people that love me for what I believe, even if they disagree. Those are friends. Amen. Jamie and I love each other. Look, I'm going to give you an example. Jamie and I love each other. And John, you know what Jamie believes? He believes this with all his heart, soul, mind, and body. He believes Ohio State is going to win a national championship this year. And guess what? I have loved him over the past decade in spite of his errant ways. But you know what Jamie does? He holds on to what nobody can see, what nobody can hear, and what nobody can conceive. And I figure by the time Jamie's 90, that's going to happen at least once. Let's let the Lord speak. Amen. Lord, bring us to you. Amen. Come on, church. Altar's open. Altar's open.